Grace and peace in the name of Jesus, the one we worship this day. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson, the ministry of John the Baptist. Let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and richly bless the preaching and teaching and hearing and receiving of your word for repentance and faith. Come, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, at this time of the year, we often say to each other, Merry Christmas. You can say it today. Merry Christmas, yes. And after reading and hearing the gospel lesson today about John the Baptist, we might say to each other, Scary Advent. How's that sound? Go out to your neighbor this week and say, Scary Advent to you. But the gospel lesson from Luke 3, if we really take it to heart, it's quite scary. It's quite frightening, terrifying, meant to be that way. We have John the Baptist coming on the scene. He's kind of this odd, strange figure. He eats locust wild honey, kind of a wild man. He's a little bit scary. And John calls the people, you brood of what? Vipers? That's pretty scary. We call the snake, a venomous snake. And then he says the axe is laid at the root of the trees. That's downright scary. The axe is ready to mark the tree, the root, and that's you and I. Then he talks about fire. If you're knocked down, you're thrown into a fire. That's pretty scary. He asks the question, who warns you to flee from the coming wrath? There's a coming wrath. That's pretty scary. He says, don't take credit or peace in being a child of Abraham and your heritage, your ancestry. For us to be, don't take credit or peace in being a Lutheran or a German. That's not going to necessarily get you in. That's kind of scary. Scary Advent. Kind of terrifying stuff. What's the Holy Spirit doing here? The Holy Spirit is humbling us, and the Holy Spirit is teaching us people. We got big problems. We got big problems, folks, and there's nothing we can do about it. So be humble. It requires the work of the Lord Himself. We need, in summary, three things. We need a new leader we need. Oh, how we need a new leader who will lead to paradise and take us there. And we need a new land because the land is wretched. And above all, we need a new lamb. A lamb of lambs who will truly take away the sins of the world. We got problems. In summary, we need the Lord. And come quickly, Lord. And come today, Lord. As you came years ago. And never stop coming. If you stop coming, we're all dead and gone. The axe hits us. We're in the fire. We're in the wrath. And we're done for. First of all, the text would teach us that we need a new leader. For our leaders are bad. The Luke 3 text begins with the mentioning of all these leaders. We have Tiberius Caesar. We have Pontius Pilate. We have Herod. We have Philip. We have Lysanias. We have Caiaphas. And we have Annas. Bad. Bad leaders. This is here not just as a historical reference. It is there to teach us there's history going on here, and this is where it fits into history. But more so, the Spirit is telling us we have bad leaders. Tiberius Caesar's the emperor of Rome. He's a bad guy. He's an idolater. He leads the people into idolatry, the worship of Roman gods. He himself thinks he's a god. He's a bad guy. You need somebody else to be your king. And then you had Herod and Lysanias and Philip mentioned. These are the sons of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the king who tried to kill baby Jesus. He was a bad guy. And now he has three sons that reign over different parts of his kingdom. And they're all bad guys too. Got to have a new leader. He mentions Pontius Pilate. Well, we all know Pontius Pilate. We have foreshadowing here of what's going to happen. Along with Herod, what's going to happen. Pontius Pilate, a weakling. A bad guy. And those are the political leaders. We need a new king. A king who will rule in righteousness and love and purity. A good king who will lead us to heaven and paradise. Where's that king? And then he mentions the spiritual leaders. He mentions Caiaphas and Annas. bad guys. If you know your history, you know what Caiaphas and Annas did. They are heretics who told people that Jesus was possessed by the devil, was a liar. They're evil, evil leaders. They plotted and carried out the death of Jesus Christ. Need a new priest. A priest who will love God's people. A priest who will offer the right sacrifice for God's people. A priest who will teach people God's truth. Where's that priest? The text cries out to us. The Holy Spirit is crying to us. You need a new leader. And Lord knows that we look at our present day leaders. Do we need a new leader? Can you say amen? Amen. As we consider our presidential candidates and other leaders. Wow. We need a leader of leaders. And that leader's name is Jesus. He is the king who will lead us to paradise. He is the priest who will sacrifice his very self on a cross and intercede for us before the Father. Oh, we need a new leader. And John the Baptist comes along to say, we have a new leader coming. He's a good leader. God himself. You've heard the expression, if you need a job done right, what do? You do it yourself. And this is our God. No one else can do the job. None of these guys can do the job. You can't do the job. Nobody can do the job. I can't do the job for you. No one can do the job. So God comes and does the job himself. A baby in a manger, hanging on a cross, rising from the dead. He doesn't need your help or my help to do it. Saving the entire world. The King of Kings, the priest of priests. We have a new leader. So no scary advent, but a merry advent, because the Lord has come and will come again. We secondly need a new land. Part of the story is how wretched the land is. I'm talking about the physical land as a symbol of the moral condition, the spiritual condition of the people. But John the Baptist comes in the midst of a wilderness and a desert. No life, emptiness, scorpions, cactus. Where's the life? It's dead out here. And the wilderness, the desert's a symbol of this thing right here. It's called our hearts, apart from God. It's a wilderness in here. Wild desires to sin in every way. It's a desert in here. No life, no peace, no joy, no happiness, no hope, no anything. I'm a desert in my heart because of sin. He speaks of hills that got to be lowered and valleys got to be lifted up and crooked places made straight. All a symbol of, again, the condition of our hearts and our lives. The hills represent those that are self-righteous, proud, arrogant. I'm on top. I don't need anybody but myself because I'm so great. God will humble you and lower you. The valleys are those that are in despair, self-pity, self-righteousness, self-pity. I'm no good. I'm worthless. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. Way down here. The crooked, of course, are all of us. We're all crooked. And the Lord will bring about a new land where the hills are lowered, where the proud are brought down, and the lowly are lifted up, and we're all set on the straight way. That's the work of the Lord. He brings about the new land. We're all one. We're all in harmony. There's a new Garden of Eden in place of the desert. There's new life. There's joy. There's peace. There's hope. I can live now. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm on the right path. We're all one in peace. No one better than anybody else. No hill and no valley. We're all equal. And that new land now, still sinful is the church. And the Lord has given us the new land. It's the Lord who is the straight way. The Lord knocks down the hill. The Lord lifts up the valley. The Lord fills the desert with new life. He gives me hope. And you're in it right now. The new land is the Christian church. For here is the Garden of Eden. The green pasture of God's word that you hear. The green pasture of the sacrament that gives you life. The water of baptism. The water of the Spirit and the body and blood of Christ. Here's the green pasture. Here's new life. Here's hope in Jesus. We're in that land that's called the Christian church and never leave it. Leave it. And of course, the new land is heaven. When we're all back in the garden and we're all one and we're all on the same level. Sinners and yet saints in Christ. It's not about how much money we make, what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of education we have. We're all sinners, and yet delivered by the Lord, saints, his bride, pure and holy. We have that now in the church, we'll have it in heaven.
you know, the question of the day is, what bowl is Tennessee going to land in? Ooh. You just don't want to play Notre Dame. Look out. Are we going to be in the Tax Slayer Bowl like last year? That's great. Or maybe the Music City Bowl or the Outback Bowl. What bowl are we going to be in? Who cares? The bowl that we've all been in, the bowl we got to stay in, is called the Baptism Bowl. Here's your bowl, folks. It's called your baptism. Stay in that bowl. Because when we're baptized with the soap, Christ, and the water, we are brought into the land of the church. We have eternal life. Our names are written in heaven. Stay in your baptism bowl. Stay in the faith. Fight the good fight of faith and bring your children and your youth and never leave the faith. Never leave that bowl. There's victory in that bowl. Salvation in that bowl. That's the bowl to think of, your baptism. And last of all, the text cries out, we need a new lamb. Oh, how we need a lamb who will truly take away the sins of the world. The scary part of the text is the coming wrath, the axe at the root of the trees, the fire, and being called a viper, a child of the devil, in other words. Who can deliver me from the axe and the fire and the wrath and make me a child of God so I don't go to hell and burn forever? And the text yearns that out to us, cries out. If I went out to John the Baptist that day, and we're all out there with him today in the desert, I might ask the question, you know, John, you talk about an axe, you talk about fire and wrath and all this bad stuff. What about all the sacrifices in the temple? You know, we bring lamb after lamb after lamb to the temple. We sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice some more. We have all these lambs. Don't they win me forgiveness? Aren't I at peace with God? Aren't I going to escape the axe and the fire and the wrath because of all those lambs? And John said, no. They were there temporally, and they helped barely adequately in the old days. And temporally, yes, they helped people. But you need the Lamb of Lambs. You need the Lamb of God, who won't just adequately barely get you through, but you need a Lamb who will be sacrificed, who will be the once and for all sacrifice for your sins, who will take the axe upon himself so you're no longer afraid of the axe. Who will take the fire upon himself so you're no longer afraid of fire. Who will take the wrath of God so you're not afraid of the wrath. And that lamb's name is, church, Jesus. And the greatest witness that John the Baptist gives is, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the one that will take the axe for you. He'll go through the fire for you. He'll take the wrath of God for you. He'll take you from being a viper to a child of God. And his very bride, pure and holy. That's the work of Jesus, the sacrifice. And before we take communion, we sing, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have what? Mercy on us. We have the lamb today. We eat the lamb's flesh and drink the lamb's blood. And so no axe, no fire, no wrath. I'm a child of God. I'm delivered. I'm saved. We all heard this week, and I mentioned in Bible class, the wonderful sacrifice of the Zuckerbergs. Is that how you say that name? The CEO of Facebook, did you hear? He and his wife, they had a child now, and they're giving away 99% of their stock, which is $45 billion. $45 billion to charity. They're keeping 1%. A nice sacrifice to be noted. Good civic righteousness here. But I have a feeling we won't find the Zuckerbergs down at the rescue mission anytime soon, will we? That 1%, they probably still have a few million to their name with 1%. Maybe probably in a few billion with 1%. Praise be to God, he doesn't give us 99%. If God only gave us 99%, we're all going to hell. Our God gave us 100%. Our God gave us his hands, his feet, his head, his hair, his eyes, his body, his blood, his life, his breath. He gave us everything at the cross. 100% sacrifice that we live in paradise forever. Now that's sacrifice. So, Merry Christmas and Scary Advent. Well, no, not really. I wish you a Merry Christmas early and a very Merry Advent. For in the Lord we have a new leader. In the Lord we have a new land. We're in it today. In the Lord we have a new lamb. A Merry Advent. Amen. Let's rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.